and Monday.
So my wife and I did some traveling over the weekend.
Okay.
Stopped at a convenience store, not to be named, but it was quick and it was a long trip.
Yeah.
Monday, Monday.
My wife was craving one of those soft pretzels, you know, that you can get the cheese to go with it, you know.
Yeah, totally.
She was craving one of those, so she had a little indulgence, had that. So as we're driving down the road, she's looking at the nutrient content and all that stuff of it, which she normally will do. Not a good idea.
Bad call.
But she did. And she noticed that it said on there, one pretzel is in a little bag or whatever. It said two servings. One large fluffy pretzel was two servings, which is kind of, we've kind of become accepting to that. That what typically, you don't know me, one package of Fig Newtons, that's one serving.
Oh, don't look at the Fig Newtons. Don't look at anything to do.
So she looked at the serving part of this large fluffy pretzel and it said two servings on there. And it said one serving equals half a pretzel. And then it said one serving is 150 calories. And then it said two servings is 290 calories. And my wife proceeded to say she stole my line. She said, I'm not a mathematician, but I'm thinking that if one pretzel equals 150 calories, the other half, which was self-declared, should also probably be 150 calories, right?
So I mean,
something got lost there, and I'm wondering, it's just very...
Now, I have a lot of respect for the teachers who taught me at St. Anthony's, and it's not their fault that I'm bad at math. But even I can smell something that might be expired before it came off the shelf on that one. Not well, that I think there's expired food involved here, but I think you get what I'm...
Our list of gray area items usually is pretty extensive, but I'll admit that after yesterday's day of football, I struggled to put anything on the list that I really wanted to talk about except for yesterday's day of football.
Didn't you just miss losing to Aaron Rodgers? Isn't that something you just couldn't get enough of and are glad to return to?
Yeah.
At least you only get one this year.
I didn't come out of that game yesterday against Pittsburgh really feeling that bad about my team, about the Vikings, because... we had two turnovers. You lose a turnover battle, you're not going to win many football games.
Generally,
it's just not going to happen. And I came out of there not feeling that bad about my team and also thinking to myself, okay, Carson Wentz, he's all right, he's okay, but when the young guy is ready to go, he'll be back.
Oh, totally.
They'll put him back in. Wentz threw for 350, but it was here and there. But you could see why he's been a kind of a journeyman quarterback. He's really good at times, and other times you're like, why did you just throw that ball at the lineman's head? Why did you just bounce it off his helmet?
Right. The difference being, if J.J. McCarthy had an identical performance yesterday, you would see it as a reason for optimism because he's so young and has time to change, whereas Carson Wentz, that's Carson Wentz we saw, and it's a Carson Wentz we knew we would see at some point when he was announced as a starter, and what do you know, it was the second week he was in, which makes sense. There's tape on him from last week. We now know what the Vikings are doing with him, we being the league in general. You know, the league has seen Wentz and the Vikings. They know what Kevin O'Connell wants him to do for success, and therefore they know what to take away in some instances. That'll be the challenge. That's the new challenge. That's why it's different every week.
So we'll talk about the bookend games, and then we'll fill in the in-between part of it a little later in the show, but the Vikings played early. The Packers played late. Again, the Viking game, if you didn't see it, was not a disaster for the Vikings. They had three of their five offensive linemen. One was out going into the game. The other two went out during the game. So the Vikings are just when Vikings have their offensive line healthy, they're a really good offensive line, but it just doesn't happen very often. The Packers, of course, are finding this out also. Even though the Vikings lost to Pittsburgh, I think the Vikings will still be all right, depending on the fact, of course, that J.J. McCarthy or Carson Wentz, they have to be a little better. You can't give away the game. You can't throw interceptions. You can't do it.
It's those critical moments. That Packer game yesterday. I've got to go back now that I'm like not in the middle of it and watch those highlights again. But it felt like the Cowboys had a really good offensive game plan to take advantage of soft spots in our defense. And I feel like that's exactly what I'm going to see. It felt like there was always George Pickens in a nice soft spot in our zone, and Dak was finding him every time. So it's like it's those things where it's like you don't need to lose the critical moment battle, and then again, we didn't lose. So
because they don't like to talk about injuries much during the broadcast. Yeah. They take commercial breaks. They come back. Another guy has slipped in there. They don't talk about it much. So you investigate. You delve into the Packer info a lot. How much did injuries? How big of a part was that in the Packer defense not being what it has been so far this year yesterday?
Injuries?
Yeah.
Not much of a contributing factor to what happened yesterday, frankly. And maybe I'm missing something major. Maybe I'm forgetting somebody, but I can't really think of anybody. I mean, we did lose Devontae Wyatt mid-game, one of our better pass-rushing interior defensive linemen. But frankly, there's other guys who have stepped up. Yes, Carl Brooks, the guy who was taking his place for some plays, made a mistake. But, I mean, like, Nate Hobbs, Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, Javon Bullard, Edge Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie. I mean, like, all of our guys were there. I think we might have been missing a linebacker, but I think I'm just not. Like, everybody was there. And there's some injuries. Our injuries in Green Bay are mostly offensive right now, that offensive line and a couple of receivers.
So that leads to the question, of course, is the Cowboy offense this good, or is the Packer defense just not as good as we thought it was going
to
be?
I don't know if it can be fairly boiled down to both of those and only those two possibilities, but certainly it's a little of both of those things together, actually. That's why I phrased it the way not to do the I told you so thing. I'm not patting myself on the back here. It's just this is the reason that I hedge every bet when it comes to the NFL. This is the reason I'm wishy-washy. This is the reason I have commitment issues. I'm a fence sitter. If anybody ever pays attention to me, they're going to think, man, this guy can't make a call about who he thinks is going to win. Yes, exactly, because nobody knows. No. Only liars think they know.
Yesterday was a glaring example of that. Yeah. Right across the board, game after game after game, just either closer than you thought it was going to be, or the final was head-scratching. Maybe the only game, one of the few games yesterday that wasn't head-scratching was the Seahawks did get a win on the road yesterday. We thought they were pretty good, and Sam Darnold and crew went in and took care of business. That was a Thursday night game, actually. And then the games from yesterday, Falcons and Commanders played. I don't know. That's a toss-up. If you put money on either one of those.
Without Jaden Daniels, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, without Jaden.
Marcus Mariota starting for Washington.
Mm-hmm. And the Bills had their hands full at home against the Saints. That was a close game. Right down to the end, the Saints actually had a good chance to win that game late with a couple of plays. So the Bills' offense was just not able to move the ball much yesterday against a Saints defense that's not very good. And, of course, the Lions took care of business against the Browns, but that wasn't it got ugly late in that game, but the Browns gave them a pretty good game. I mean, it wasn't lopsided.
No, 20-7 at the half, but the Browns scored in the third quarter and the Lions didn't. So there was the feeling of hope there going into the fourth quarter, especially before the Lions really put it away. That said, 34-10 at the end of the game. So it was that fourth quarter was the game. You know, there was tension up until then.
Yeah, the Giants winning at home over the Chargers, that was the head scratcher. But a road game in the NFL is hard, no matter where you're playing at. And the Giants put their new quarterback out there,
Jackson Dart,
and he wasn't necessarily the only reason why they won that game, but he didn't give it away. And the Giants beat a Charger team that everybody was saying they might be the best team in the AFC. After what Baltimore did yesterday, maybe maybe that might be true because now Lamar Jackson might be out for a while.
Hamstring issue. With a little hamstring. Timeline is unclear. No kidding. Thank you. Why don't you just tell us when you know?
Yeah. Eagles win at the Bucs. That was a good game as expected. Could have gone either way. Texans, they destroyed the Titans. Not a big surprise there. The Rams and the Colts. The Colts were, I'm going to celebrate the touchdown before I cross the goal line, fumble away from maybe winning that game.
Oh, yeah.
He decided he was switching the ball to a hand right as he entered the end zone, and the ball clearly was juggled, went from a clear touchdown, nobody around him, to a touchback.
Well, I mean, and it's difficult to blame one player for the loss of a game, but in a one-score loss and one in which one player had two major gaffes that likely cost touchdowns. Like, yeah, Adonai Mitchell's going to have a rough week. They call him AD. AD. I think he goes more by the initials than the initialism. Mr. Mitchell. 40, get better next week. You can do it.
49ers at home. They lose 3-0 at home with the Jaguars coming in, and they lose that game. The Chiefs took care of the Ravens. The Ravens, Lamar Jackson got hurt late in that game. The Chiefs dominated that game. The Chiefs are back? Question mark.
Maybe.
Maybe, but we don't know because the Ravens' defense doesn't appear to be what it's been.
No. Well, I mean, they're, I haven't watched the highlights on that one, but from what I'm seeing, it's a lot of really good pieces not performing cohesively, which is the story of a lot of high-powered, talented, you know, all-star. I think of all-star team defenses from the 90s and early 2000s. Like, we got the team together, and then the team does squat. It's like, it feels like the Ravens kind of have built up to that after a lot of years of success.
Yeah, now they're 1-3, probably without Lamar Jackson for a couple of weeks. Usually hamstrings will take you down for at least a couple.
Yeah.
So not looking good for the Ravens to even be a playoff team now.
Yeah. Can't count them out entirely as maybe a wild card dark horse, depending on how records shake out around the conference. But yeah, they're definitely outside looking in at this point, or at least on the beginning of that. They're in quicksand. That's what I would say. The Ravens have 2 feet in quicksand right now. Mm-hmm. They're not hopeless, but it would be a pretty impressive maneuver if they ended up in the postseason.
And watch out, NFC North. Caleb Williams led a game-winning drive at the end of the game for the Bears, and their defense held off. It's the Raiders, but it's still a road game. It's a road victory. This is definitely a step forward. If you are a Bears fan this morning, you're feeling better about Caleb Williams and your Bears than you have in quite a while.
I love a catchy saying, Joel. I saw one yesterday. All throws lead to Rome. I love it. The chemistry between Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. I think Rome has 5 touchdowns already through 4 games, which is in mostly unsustainable pace, but keep an eye on that. If you keep seeing those two guys scoring on a team that's not necessarily been world-beating up till now, that's the sign of some major progress happening. That means that a quarterback and receiver are doing things that defenses who know what they're going to do still can't stop. And that's momentum right there. And that's Ben Johnson. So watch out. Chicago's starting to get hot. I mean, I know they won on a blocked field goal yesterday, but make no mistakes. That's a team with some real threats that are building.
Right. They had to block a field goal at the end. You're right. I watched a lot of football yesterday, and it's all kind of blending together in my brain.
Well, blocked field goals left and right all season so far.
Yeah. I don't think the Bears' defense is good enough for them to be a playoff team this year. I think Caleb Williams has taken a step forward. I think they're still a year away. The game, are they still playing? Hang on a second here. I have ESPN.com and the scoreboard up here. Packers, Cowboys, 40-40. They're still wait. That game's not over yet.
Yeah, I think we're in like 13th inning now. Excuse me. I'm sorry. That was a tie. Different dimension opened up for a second there. It was a weird feeling yesterday. And ties are weird in general. And it's had me thinking about why that is. I'm going to be chatting about that on my show a lot. But I realized that ties feel weird because normally the game tells us how to feel. And I realize that's part of the appeal of sports. We don't have to make many complex decisions, though we can have complex discussions. At the end of the day, the scoreboard tells us how to feel, and that's part of the appeal. You go through this emotional upheaval that's 3.5 hours long, and at the end of the day, the good guys win or they don't. and at least you know what's up. You know where the status quo is. Unless there's a stinking tie, how do I feel about a tie? You mean I gotta go in and make complex decisions about something like that? Ugh.
It's not often you see a kicker kick a field goal as time's expiring. The ball goes through the uprights, and everyone on the field is disappointed.
Yeah, it's like,
wait a minute, that usually involves joy for someone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like the score changed, but I feel no better or no worse. What does this mean? Like, and each of us has to decide. It's like a little mini therapy moment or an opportunity for rage, depending on who you are.
Here's one thing that that seems to be a pattern for Mr. Jordan Love, and he's a legitimate NFL starter. There's no doubt about it.
100%.
But there's some decision-making that comes at moments where you're just like... you scratch your head. The last play before the field goal.
And
the last play before the field goal. The pass by Jordan. It was third down. First of all, it was third down. So you're either just gonna throw it away, or you're gonna bounce it into the ground, and you're gonna take the field goal. So Jordan Love decided. I think there was a lot of confusion all the way around. Jordan Love decided he was actually gonna try to make a play, and the pass that he made into the end zone. That was deflected away. If that ball goes up in the air even 3 to 4 feet and doesn't go directly to the ground, the game's over and the Packers lose, because that would have been 1 second that would have ticked off the clock. That was not a good decision by the Packers to throw that, to make that play at the end of the game.
Yeah, if you divided the world into all the directions that football could have gone, it's like only 20% of them result in time left on the clock.
Exactly.
Like, that was, I mean, and that was, I know that was a confusing way. Basically, Jordan Love got stupidly lucky, and he usually doesn't. And you're right, he does have a pattern of problematic decision making, but it's just like, and actually, he's kind of a quarterback who... I kind of worry. I was thinking about mentioning with the Bears earlier. Is this the best we'll ever see of Caleb Williams? Because if so, and I don't necessarily think so, but if so, that would follow a pattern. You know, Mitch Trubisky flashed really hot at times. So did Justin Fields. But there's never been enough to really rely on a guy for multiple years in a row and say, yes, he can clearly be built around. And Caleb Williams has started to get past that point. But I worry he's not quite past that and could regress to that point if things don't work out. Honestly, Jordan Love isn't much better than that. He shows some, like, his failure to recognize a coverage that he saw earlier in the game last week against the Browns was the play. Like, you can't argue that Jordan Love's interception isn't what brought the Browns back into the game. Okay, so let's crack that open. Long story short, Grant Delpit made a similar move. The guy who made the interception, he'd shown a similar coverage earlier in the game. Which, I mean, Jordan Love might think it was a fake, or that they're showing a fake tendency. You know, like, there's a lot of mind games that go into things. Mm-hmm. But basically, Jordan Love expected mind games when it was what it seemed to be. He could have taken something at face value. He didn't. They lost the game. Now, how much blame he gets for that is really up to him. But again, he's lost games before, and I worry about it. But also, how much of this is informed by Favre Rodgers Love? You know, how much of the Love complaining comes from, we've just had Favre, we just had Rodgers, and whether or not we're going to compare.
Right. Well, if the season were to end today, Packer fans should feel comfort that tie put the Packers into the playoffs and knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs. Okay,
half a game.
Packers at 2-1-1, and after that, after the tie happened, and I, like most fans, I shut off the TV and I went to bed, and I thought to myself, my brain was thinking, okay, what does that tie mean at the end of the year when the Vikings and Packers are playing each other that last game of the year? And I thought, well, if they're a half game behind, they still got to win. If they were tied, they still got to win. Nothing. In my brain, I was just like, no, they're still probably going to be within a game of each other, and it'll just be a huge game.
Yeah, the Vikings are eighth in the NFC, right behind the Packers at seventh. And if you want to know why, there's a whole paragraph
of tiebreakers.
That they've over Atlanta and Arizona and over Washington because, and over Chicago because, yeah, that's I call it playoff math or tournament math. It's honestly one of my favorite parts of the last few weeks. It's just like Green Bay gets into the postseason this week if they win, or if these two teams lose, or if this team ties and this team, like, I love that stuff.
The playoff. Have you ever experienced, the playoff machine? Have you experienced that before? The
I don't
NFL playoff machine? The playoff machine is so addicting. When you get to the last couple of weeks of the season, we'll talk. Because the playoff scene, it has a listing of every game that'll be played. Like, for instance, let's say it's the last week of the season, and you want to know who's going to be in the playoffs if this team wins and this team loses. So you click on this one. You say the Packers win and the Vikings lose, and it tells you who's in the playoffs. Okay, Packers win, Vikings lose. This happens. And you click on every single game to change maybe a conference record or something like that. And every time you click on it, it may or may not change who made the playoffs. And it just sends your mind into this just crazy, just woo!
I think I remember you mentioning that last week around
it's
that
wonderfully
the end of that three-day period where we didn't see you much. You came out of your office after it was like your beard was long and you lost a little weight.
That was me.
I thought it was something else, Joel. I'll admit. Yeah, I'm glad to hear it was just the playoff machine.
If you're doing it now, you're going to end up somewhere you don't want to be.
So playoff machine, kids, not even once.
It may not even come out until like week 14 or 15, I think, for that reason, because it may cause problems. But we've played four games now in the National Football League, and only two of the 32 teams in the league are undefeated.
Yeah, you've got the Bills and the Eagles right now, one per conference, so you've got some early Super Bowl favorites. Eagles, of course, to defend the belt, and the Bills, who have been sniffing for years now, and they're due. People would love to see that matchup, even though it involves the Eagles repeating, but you see the Eagles win another Super Bowl, and people are going to start being like, okay, that's enough.
I don't think the Steelers are 3-1, but after watching them yesterday, I still think they're going to be a borderline playoff team. They had a few fortunate bounces go their way yesterday. They had a fumble by Aaron Rodgers that literally hit the ground and bounced right into an offensive lineman's gut. The Vikings had a couple, maybe you consider fortunate bounces in that game too, but the Steelers definitely had the football mojo going their way yesterday. One of the interceptions was a pass that Carson Wentz made. The lineman put his hand up, and the ball deflected just enough, just a little bit, so it went behind the receiver and was intercepted. You know, 99% of the time, that ball is deflected and probably hits the ground somewhere, and that was interception. So the Steelers kind of, and plus, with everything that went the Steelers' way in that game yesterday, Vikings almost came back and won it right at the end. It was still a really close game.
Win ugly. I remember the win ugly season. Sometimes that's all you got. But hey, ugly wins are better than any loss.
Yeah, I'm not sold. Steelers 3-1, Colts 3-1. I think both of those teams, when we get down to week 15, are going to be in that mix of, okay, here's what needs to happen for them to make the playoffs. Yeah. I think they're both going to be in that situation. But
Chargers and Bills are for real. Steelers and Colts might experience turbulence. But actually, those Colts have looked good even in that loss yesterday. So I've got to watch a lot of highlights yet. There's like 3 hours just highlights to watch.
Believe in Danny Dimes. Believe in Danny Dimes.
Indiana Jones! I'm so proud of him. I'm glad he's doing well. And I'm glad Brian Daboll is doing better, too. Because if Jackson Dart has a bad season, Brian Daboll might be done. He was brought in to make Daniel Jones a good Giants quarterback, and he's a really good Colts quarterback after he was cut.
and someone made the comment yesterday which I've kind of always agreed with, but it really stuck with me yesterday when they said that football coaches and teams need to stop trying to make quarterbacks work in their system. They need to evaluate a quarterback's talent, and they need to adjust their system to the quarterback.
Yeah, definitely.
It's 100% true, because you see coaches just like, well, this is the way we play. This is just the way we play. You're going to have to get good at it. It's not working, because you got guys like Danny Dimes and Sam Darnold. You can probably go on the list of other ones who just stunk, looked horrible. Then they go to a different system, and they look great. So what's your answer to that? Why?
I've never coached, so I'm definitely 100% armchair on this one, just like I always am when I'm talking about football, because I never played past seventh grade. But like, I have to imagine that there's more success to be had in the mentality of, what can we do with what he can do? You know, what can I do with his skill set, or what can I add to his skill set, or but mostly still use what he can do well versus can he do what I want, you know?
Right.
I mean, of course, past a certain point, what I want is to win football games. So can I win? Yeah, sure. But no, I like the idea. I like the feel. I like the mentality behind what can I do with what you can do.
Well, it's like a basketball coach first day of practice telling his team, okay, we're going to be a three-point shooting team, all right? We're going to watch Steph Curry videos. This is what we're going to do. We're going to shoot threes. And then the first week of practice, that's all you do. You shoot threes, and you track all the shooting. And your team shoots 11.5% unguarded from threes in the first week. So as a coach, are you going to say, we're still going to try to be a three-point shooting team, or are you going to say, you know what? Maybe we should post up down low.
We need to diversify the portfolio. Yeah. You know, and I, you know why I like that mentality? Because I think of Kyle Shanahan, and I think he might be a coach who plays that way. And yes, he does have specific traits he looks for, but he's not forcing players to have those traits who don't. I think of last year when Jordan Mason, the very successful Vikings running back this year, he was a 49er last year, and he floated up through the depth chart because of injuries originally to Christian McCaffrey and then to everybody between him and Mason. But there's a very clear trend to who Shanahan pulls up from nowhere. And it's not the first time he's made a running back look really good. It's because he needs a guy who can do one or two things really well that might not make the talking heads label that person, hey, that's a really good up-and-coming running back. No, he's got a really good cutback in a zone running scheme. Cool. Shanahan's about to get him to run for 80 yards a game for three games in a row, and he's right. about to sound really good based on the headlines. And it's like, okay, so I'm an army, and all I've got is one really big gun. And there's some weaknesses to that, but if I use it smart, I can beat a lot of people with that. And that's exactly what good coaches are doing. They look for that one thing they know how to use well, and they milk it to death.
The Gray Area with Gray and Joel here. We'll have more in just a bit. Birthday wishes. Jerry Smart has celebrated a birthday over the weekend. Jerry, on Saturday, my neighbor, happy birthday from your wife and your neighbors, too. You got one there, too?
I've got one here that came in this morning. Happy birthday today to Matthew Hertreiter, turning 16. Matthew, that's a fun one. Happy birthday from Grandpa Roger and Grandma Barb. I'm trying to think of what I did on my 16th birthday. I didn't get my license that day. If you're doing that, I envy you. I failed my test the first time. Definitely don't do that today.
More of the Gray Area coming up after the news here on 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police just south of Flint, Michigan, say an ex-Marine smashed his pickup into an LDS church, opened fire, and set the building ablaze. At least four people were killed on Sunday morning. The gunman also dead after a shootout with police. Democratic and Republican congressional leaders headed to the White House today. ABC's Rachel Scott in Washington.
The president had originally canceled a meeting with top Democrats. Now that is back on. So the first time since taking office in January, the president will be sitting down with the top four congressional leaders on both sides of the aisle at the White House in just a few hours. And the stakes could not be higher. We are just 2 days out from a government shutdown.
President Trump also meets today with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House. Luxury real estate developer Dar Global entering an agreement with the Trump Organization to build another Trump-branded property in Saudi Arabia. NFL announcing Bad Bunny will be the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl this year in Northern California. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. Paris County Public Health would like to remind you to please get your pet vaccinated against rabies. Rabies is a viral disease that can be spread to humans and pets if they're bitten or scratched by a rabid animal. Rabies can be prevented by staying away from wildlife, vaccinating your pets, and seeking medical care for potential exposure. The cost of a rabies vaccine ranges between $12 and $20 depending on the facility. However, if your pet bites a person and they are unvaccinated, that requires a 10-day quarantine for symptom monitoring at a facility, which is approximately $490, depending on the facility. You can talk with your veterinarian if you think your pet needs a rabies vaccination. And for more information about rabies and animal bites, visit dhs.wisconsin.gov. The Minocqua Public Library would like to invite you out for Storytime Wednesdays at 10 a.m. in the library's program room. This is for preschoolers and toddlers ages 0 to 5, and is once again taking place at 10 a.m., in the library's program room every Wednesday. For more information, you can visit minocqualibrary.org or call 715-356-4437. Wisconsin will have more green energy options. Isabella Nieto has more.
The Public Service Commission voted last week to approve the first wind farm since 2011. According to a statement from Clean Wisconsin, the Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center project will be located in Iowa and Grant counties. The commission also approved Whitewater Solar, a solar farm on the borders of Walworth and Jefferson counties. The approval comes after Clean Wisconsin released a report on the local environmental benefits of solar farms, showing how this project will improve water quality in the area. For Civic Media News, I'm Isabella Nieto.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
The Brewers cruise into the postseason. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers finished the regular season with 97 wins after beating the Reds 4-2 Sunday. Next, the Brewers wait to find out if they'll host the Cubs or the Padres in the divisional round on Saturday. NFL, Sunday Night Football, Packers and Cowboys. The game going into overtime and ending in a 40-40 tie. Jordan Love on the final play to Emmanuel Wilson that fell short of a touchdown, and they had to settle for a field goal.
We tried running a double move, and their defense, they were playing pretty soft. We didn't get the look we wanted. Threw it to E. Was hoping we could, make somebody miss, and, we didn't.
Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott.
You don't play the game for ties. I don't care about the stats. I don't care about the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. I just care about the end result and the win. And so when you don't get that, it's a weird feeling.
That's Dak Prescott with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
It's Big G from 98Q Country inviting you to join me live Saturday, October 4th in downtown Phillips with the Phillips Fall Harvest Festival. Enjoy over 50 arts and crafts vendors, great food, and kids' activities, including the Phillips Children's Museum. Catch live music from Reunited and Tom Burke, plus bake sales, pumpkin decorating, face painting, and local store specials. Spin our prize wheel for prizes including local certificates, Milwaukee Zoo, and Mall of America passes. Remember, Saturday, October 4th, Fall Festival in downtown Phillips.
The Outdoor Report is brought to you on WCQM by Lakeside Property Services and Management of Park Falls. Find Lakeside on Facebook.
No matter what the season, let Nick and his professional team from Lakeside Property Services and Management take care of all your landscaping and yard care needs, from mowing to plowing and everything in between, including patio, walkway, and driveway lighting, yard beautification, and maintenance. Trust them to manage your summer homes with complete peace of mind. Just call Nick at 715-661-8114 at Lakeside Property Services in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Nick says landscaping should be the first thing you see and the last thing you worry about.
I'm Rob Dreisline, and this is from the pages of the Outdoor News, brought to you by Onyx Fish. With duck and goose hunting seasons underway, your Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds hunters to boat and hunt safely this fall. More details when we return, but first.
Whether you're hunting private or public ground, Onyx Hunt gives you the edge. With detailed land ownership maps, you'll know exactly where you stand. Add in advanced weather, wind, and radar tools, and you've got the full picture to plan every hunt. Now, with Moultrie Mobile Trail Cam integration, you can even see photos from your cams right on the map for smarter scouting and better stand decisions. Download the Onyx Hunt app today and start your free 7-day trial.
Welcome back. Waterfowl hunting seasons are kicking off, and the Wisconsin DNR reminds duck and goose hunters to make safety a priority. The Northern Zone duck opener kicked off this past Saturday, September 27th, and the Southern Zone will begin this coming Saturday on October 4th. Waterfowl hunters can keep themselves, their hunting parties, and their dogs safe by following a few basic rules. Be aware that water temperatures are rapidly cooling. Falling overboard can quickly turn dangerous as hypothermia sets in fast. Wear a life jacket to keep yourself on the surface so you can use your energy to keep yourself warm rather than to stay above the water. Never overload the boat. If hunting on a large river or lake, use a boat that's big enough to handle rough water. Balance your boat evenly and keep weight low for stability. Know the danger of waders in the water. If a boat capsizes and a hunter falls out, the waders can quickly fill with water. And of course, always carry a cell phone in case of emergency. Learn more at the DNR's waterfowl hunting webpage at dnr.wisconsin.gov. This has been from the pages of the Outdoor News. Learn more at outdoornews.com.
Reliable, affordable energy is critical to progress and building resilient, connected, and prosperous communities. Enbridge's Line 5 is a vital link delivering raw materials that are processed into propane, fueling communities, industry, and businesses across Wisconsin. Energy that powers agricultural equipment and heats homes. To learn more, visit Enbridge.com/L5WIS. Tomorrow is on.
Get ready to go for the green and gold.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
With 98Q Country. Listen right here each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize. $200 cash and gold jewelry. Plus, be entered to win our grand prize. Two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest with 98Q Country. Sponsored locally by...
When Aqua Chevrolet is 100% locally owned and proud to bring you the green and gold text to win contest on 98Q Country. $49.95 oil changes, dependable rides, and hometown service that puts you first. When Aqua Chevrolet, your local dealer.
It is going to be sunny and warm again today, high in the low to mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. We're going to drop into the upper 50s to near 60 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Baby, ya yo me enteré, se nota cuando me ve. Ahí donde no has llegado, sabes que yo te llevaré. Y dime qué quieres beber, es que tú eres mi bebé y de nosotros.
Joel, I hear the sound of radios clicking off. What's going on?
More of the gray area. This is your halftime performer for the Super Bowl, Bad Bunny. It was announced yesterday.
Yep.
Super Bowl 60.
Super Bowl 60.
Oh, I missed a couple there.
Yeah,
but then again, I'm a Viking fan. So
that playoff machine, man.
Doesn't matter.
Not even once. You'll just lose decades.
All right. So Bad Bunny, who is an international sensation, just crazy number of views on YouTube for Bad Bunny.
Yes, indeed. The Puerto Rican sensation.
Looks to be a very talented young man. Yeah.
And right. This is Dakiti. This is a song with 1.6 billion views on the music video we're watching.
All right. I'm always in for watching something a little different as far as halftime entertainment.
New things.
I mean, I enjoy when Mellencamp and Prince, I enjoy that stuff, but I always give them a chance. I always give them a chance, and I think that's what everybody should do is try to enjoy the artistic quality of what they're doing. Maybe you don't like the music. Maybe the type of music isn't you, but enjoy the artistic quality of it.
Yeah, I firmly believe that variety is the spice of life. And if you like everything you encounter, there's probably a medical term for that. What I mean is you're not going to love it all, but you should love that you don't love it all, you know? That's something, believe it or not, to enjoy. That everything isn't great is why some things are.
All right, 8:49 on the gray area here. We're running a little late on segment two. We'll play a couple cuts from yesterday. We'll comment on them. Brandon McManus was... what did he talk about here?
Was it at least satisfying to be able to kick a field goal and end the game in a tie? Civic Media's own Mike Clemens trying to squeeze some blood out of a turnip on this one. Let's see what McManus had to say.
He had to say here.
I wouldn't say satisfying, but it's not a loss. It's not a tick in the loss column. Who knows, down the road, that helps us, hurts us. So it was an interesting game from the start to the end.
That would be a good way to put it, Mr. McManus. It was an interesting game, and he had a field goal blocked.
He had an extra point blocked.
Point. That was a big moment in the game. That's just the ultimate definition of the fine line in many games between winning and losing. That was a 3-point swing. And if you take that 3-point swing and take it into account in the fourth quarter and overtime, it's huge.
Yeah, Packers huge. Win. Or you can't say Packers win. Just if the scoreboard changes by that swing, yes, Packers win. But of course, if the points were that way, the Cowboys act differently, et cetera, et cetera. So,
Micah Parsons after the game was a little bit disappointed.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm pissed off. You know, I'm very disappointed overall how we performed. You know, I even told Jordan to the side, you know, thank you for having our back today. You know, that's why it's so pivotal that, you know, you play complimentary football, because today Jordan played like the player he was, and we let him down. We didn't live up to the expectations on defense.
One thing that Mike Parsons is doing is he's keeping Mike Clemens busy on making sure that he's editing the cuts properly, because Micah sometimes has a couple of choice words here.
Every once in a while. We have to be careful, because Michael sometimes send the raw audio over, so yeah. It's like, oh, this is not for the preschool audience.
Well, he sent me one, and he said, I was up late, didn't have a chance to listen to this whole clip, so be careful. I'm just like, well, to me, I read that as, delete it.
Yeah, just like it's save that for after today.
Because he was up all night basically with all these audio clips. So Josh Jacobs talked after the game on what it's like playing a full overtime.
Weird, honestly. That's the only way I can really explain it. I think the stuff before the half, we kind of like shot ourselves in the foot with. We came out and, you know, saw the battle. Had a chance to still win it at the end of the game. Got to find a way, you know, to pull those out.
Josh Jacobs, by the way, is a real deal. I mean, he is a really nice back for the Packers.
Yes, absolutely. And, I mean, with the style of running that he does, it might be easy to believe that our backups, such as they are, Emmanuel Wilson especially, can carry the load. And he can, to a degree. But Jacobs does things, and it's difficult to put a label on, probably because I'm so darn ignorant. But it's just the casual fan can see. You know, the offense runs differently when he's there. I think because defense, I'm sure the Cowboys defense could tell you exactly what Jacobs offers that other backs don't. But for the fan, it's fun to watch. That's all I know for sure.
And as a Viking fan, I notice it sometimes. But last night, because I had the Josh Jacobs to go over 72.5 yards, I really noticed it last night. So he, you know, those add-on yards afterwards are really nice. Matt LaFleur talked a little bit about why a 40-40 tie feels so disappointing.
It's disappointing in regards to just too many critical mistakes that led to that tie. Give Dallas credit. They did a great job offensively, you know, moving the ball down the field. But there's a lot of things that we all have to clean up, starting with myself. I mean, we're trying to be aggressive at the end of the half, and that really bit us in the butt.
You're hoping something they can clean up through the year, but, you know, the untimely penalties and stuff like that, the pre-snap penalties are the ones that I think directly reflect there can always be reasons due to injury that you're throwing people in there that haven't played before. But to me, pre-snap penalties, I always think, come on, coaches. That's what I think anyway, yeah. as a fan.
One thing I was glad to see was Jordan Morgan not committing 3 false start penalties in a mm-hmm. half. So that was good. Mm-hmm. You know, like that was, again, something I chatted about in my show last week was basically, I hope that a week of prep and knowing who's going to be on the offensive line going into the game will help. And I think that did, you know, but that wasn't enough. The Cowboys game planned incredibly well, I think, for our defense, and the pass rush didn't get home often enough to make Dak uncomfortable. And yeah, they did. They pressured him, but did they notch a sack last night?
I don't know.
I'm not sure the Packers actually. Well, yes, I know Micah did that chase down. That's
yeah,
and that actually saved a touchdown that saved the game. But that they called it a sack, I thought that was a judgment call. I think there might have been a coin flip involved in that one.
So Jordan Love talked about the thought process on what happened on that third down play right before the field goal in overtime.
We tried running a double move, kind of off the play we ran right before that. And, you know, their defense, they were playing pretty soft. We didn't get the look we wanted. And so threw it to E. Was hoping we could, you know, make somebody miss. And, you know, we didn't. So obviously a moving clock situation. You know, no timeouts left. We got to get a call in. And, you know, we had a good call on, and we just didn't execute it. You know, I don't think we
everybody was on the same page with what needed to happen, and you know, something that we got to fix, we got to clean up, and be better, because you know, it was ended up being really, really close with only 1 second left.
Yeah.
you might say that. But when he says that they were trying to run a double move, what he means is that he saw something in the last play that he thought he could exploit. Basically, the way that the play right before that, he saw something that he thought he could use to win the game with a touchdown on that play. And obviously, that's not what happened. And but at least I love that we hear the explanation. You know, because it can look like. You know, there's a lot of understandable, what the heck was that for? What were you trying to do there? Why was that? And it wasn't that, my head wasn't bent into the shape of a question mark as it sometimes
is. I had mentioned earlier about the questionable decision making, and now I guess maybe I have to walk that back a little bit. I do like the fact that Jordan Love has the gutzpah to give it a shot, because most players, most quarterbacks would have launched that thing, would have dropped back after 1 second, would have just thrown it into the first row and said, there's no way I'm taking a chance. You know what? Maybe you admire a little bit of gutsiness by Jordan Love. If they catch that ball in the end zone and they win it, man, what a gutsy play. What a great, that's a great quality to have in a quarterback.
The conversation today is of a very particular flavor.
Yeah.
And before we go, Joel, I just need to assure everybody listening that you and I are about to have an off-air conversation on the pronunciation of chutzpah, which we've had before, by the way. I just need that to be said before I leave this room in the next couple minutes.
I'm afraid to shut off my microphone. 8:57. Thank you, Greg Gunderson.
Thank you, Joel.
More Packer talk this afternoon after 4?
Yeah, Packers at 4.
Packers at 4.
Every weekday.
All right. News coming up in just a moment here on 98Q Country. Pray for me, everybody.